Thank you all for tuning in this week to yet another episode of the Psyche Behind the Physique. This week, we are wrapping up a three-part series on setting and achieving goals. Last week, if you missed the episode, we talked about the two necessary components of goals in order to ensure that they have value and meaning and that you will follow through. This week, we will be diving into the five mistakes that I have made when setting goals that have hindered me from reaching them. So sit back, relax, grab a pen and paper and your bestie, and let's get to work. So diving right in here, the five mistakes with setting and achieving goals. So take your goals from last week and make sure that they do not fall into one of these five traps. All right. Number one. If you're writing this down, take note on this. You're only focused on the how and completely forget about the why. We feel so much pressure to do something that sometimes the why is not present. In the past, I have felt pressure, especially during a specific time of year, the new year, to not drink. And I have never felt called to do it, but honestly felt FOMO if I didn't. Here's the interesting thing about pressure, and particularly pressure in reference to setting goals. When we feel pressure to do anything, there's an inner rebel that shows up and will find a way to push back. Sure enough, the second that I commit out of pressure, that rebel in me says, nope. And then I start being sneaky. So, what's your why for real? What is the goal that you want to do? And why does it matter that you do it? You ready for number two? Number two is you're setting too many goals. Stop doing this. Stop committing yourself to dry January, Whole30, learning French, switching careers, taking your business online, volunteering at church, being a kinder person. All these things at once. If you are in a dire state and life is punching you in the face and you're like, I need a total reset, Coach Maddie, please only pick one goal. Use this to focus on that major challenge you're facing to face it and make the situation better. Because when you can face the challenges in your life and you can see yourself making really small changes each day to make your life better, that is the most incredible goal that you can achieve. And it makes you feel better about yourself and it makes you feel more confident. And maybe you're listening to this and you're saying, but Maddie, nothing's going bad. Still, don't set 8, 10, 9 goals. The research shows that you're not going to get anything done. 1 to 3, 1 to 3 at a time. That's your magic number. That's it, right? Number three, we're chucking right along. When you define the goal, you might be missing the sweet spot. So listen up here. The sweet spot is the point in between where the goal is way too easy and way too hard. So in essence, this is like the Goldilocks and the three bears of your goal, right? There's this sweet spot when it comes to goal setting, and most people go way too big. Don't make your goal way too big. That's what a dream is. And I love dreams, don't get me wrong. Dreams are big. They're meant to be big, but goals have to be small. Goals have to be specific. They have to be on a timeline. They have to be definable. They've got to be bite-sized. You've got to be able to achieve these things in a specific amount of time that is realistic. For example, I know that I could achieve meditation one day out of the week, but that's not really a sweet spot, right? The sweet spot means that it's achievable, but it also has to be kind of ambitious. Remember that the definition of a goal is that there has to be some sort of resistance there. You're going to have more motivation and satisfaction if the goal has some sort of ambition required behind it. And maybe, you're not going to drink for 75 days. Not an entire year, not just a month, but a sweet spot. 75 days, just over 2 months' time. Moving on to number four, you've got goals that are way, way, way too general. My goal, for example, to meditate more, to be honest with you guys, I thought about that last week and I was going through this checklist for myself. Meditating more is way too general. Dreams can be general because dreams don't have a timeline, but goals have to be specific. Why? Because you've got to be able to reach them. So, a good question to ask when you're defining for yourself if this goal that you set last week is too general or specific enough is how are you going to know if you've succeeded? So, for my meditation example, when will I know if I've succeeded in meditating more? When I explore succeeding, I realize that it's not really about spending more time meditating. My goal is more about learning how to quiet my mind and focus inward without noise in my head and thoughts for 20 minutes at a time. And I know that I will have succeeded when I can lower my cortisol points by five because I've kept up with meditating so much each evening that my overall stress levels have lowered, right? Or that I can focus for 20 minutes at a time without having to get up and pace around the room. Number five, the fifth reason why you're setting goals and they never get achieved. You're failing to set high-low range goals. I wish I would have came across this way earlier in my health and fitness journey. For example, it is far easier to lose 2 to 4 pounds than 3 pounds. A high-low range goal is going to make it easier for you to achieve it. For me, I'm going to make it a goal to meditate between 5 and 7 days a week, which feels achievable. It's still a lot, but I can do it. You know, for drinking, if your goal is to set a specific amount of time that you're not going to drink, it's simply about the way that you posit this goal in your head. You can say you're not going to drink for 75 days, but that sounds really rigid. That sounds hard. What if you simply reworded that goal and you said, well, I'm not going to drink for 75 out of the 90 days? 75 out of 90 days, you can do, right? It gives you buffer time. Maybe you're going to go balls to the wall. Maybe you're not going to drink for 75 days. And then, you know, the last 15, you're going to allow yourself to have a few cocktails, but it gives you grace and wiggle room. And in real time, even as I'm talking about my goals for meditation, I'm already feeling more confident in my ability to reach my goals. And I want you to now take those goals that we've made previously, whichever goals you made in last week's episode, and I want you to turn them into high-low goals. I know what you're probably now starting to think about. Maddie, how do I get started and how do I achieve this? Right? I know that I've got my goal now. I've got it. All right, ready? Listen up. Number one, based on the research, the second that you define your goal and that you have confirmed that your goal does not fall into one of the five traps that I just discussed, you have to make the first milestone. The milestone has to be easy. Make a super simple, small first step. In psychology, they call this incremental illusion. If you can make the first few milestones really easy to achieve, you're going to be more likely to succeed at your goal. Right? So maybe you have this egregious 50-pound weight loss goal. Make some small milestones, right? Maybe day one, you're working on cutting your coffee creamer consumption in half. Easy. Done. Maybe you're also working on actually being mindful of your fiber intake. Not even tracking all three macros. You're just looking at fiber. 15 grams a day. Something small. Nothing is more motivating than progress. I was doing a little bit of research and I came across a study conducted at the University of Chicago. And they had done a study in a coffee shop. And this experiment, they had two different groups and they were doing a BOGO type of promotion, not BOGO, but a discount promotion where if you bought 10 cups, you got the next coffee free. And they gave one group buy 10, get one free. And this card was blank. And then they gave another group a buy 12, get one free. But two of the slots were already checked off. Progress for this second group had already been made, although it was the same deal. They still had to purchase 10 coffees in order to get a free one. The folks that were given the blank card didn't move through the boxes faster than the group that were given the card that already had two boxes checked off. Why? Because they had already perceived themselves as getting started and making some headway. So if you're listening to this podcast, simply listening to this is a box checked in your favor. Workshopping your goals right now and applying the research is already a box checked. You've got momentum. Now you just have to keep going. I downloaded an app on meditating last night. Simply opening up that app is a box checked. Simply researching meals on Instagram or having a conversation or a consult call with a coach is a box checked. Signing up with a gym, box checked. Doesn't really require much effort from you. Box checked. What about this? Tell someone that you admire about your goal. You will show greater goal commitment and performance when you share your goal with someone whose opinion you admire or you value. When we have athletes that come on to Team Empowered, part of our intake process is having them define physical, emotional, educational, hormonal goals. Because it's important for me as a coach and a leader and a facilitator to hold our athletes accountable to these deeply personal goals. The whole reason why this three-part series was so important to me and why goal setting is important for you is because this creates meaning and purpose in our lives. Having goals and taking little steps towards them are going to make you so much happier. It's going to make you feel like you're up to something. You know, there's a reason why I really hammer this idea of pursuing goals. I just want you to try. I don't even want you to get this perfect. When you achieve a goal, I got to be honest with you. When I achieved my goal of getting a pro card, it wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be. It's great, don't get me wrong. But I realized after I had achieved it that it was the process that provided me with happiness. Working towards goals makes us happy, but achieving them doesn't always promise happiness, right? I won the pro card. It felt so great, but then my life moved on. The point and the purpose of achieving and setting goals that are deeply personal, goals that have a will, goals that have a why. It's because when you have goals, you're up to something. You're committed to yourself and to this goal, and you're getting intentional about things that you find important. The problem here is that we have a tendency to overestimate how happy we're going to be when we achieve them. In psychology, they call this the arrival fallacy. Once I lose the weight, or once I get the job, or once I find the romance, I'll be happy. Not true. It's actually working towards the gold medal, the making of a movie, the conceiving a child, right? It's working on it that gives our lives meaning. So, goal setting from this point forward, from this three-part series and on, it's got to be a part of your life if you want to feel a greater sense of purpose and of meaning. I know that this podcast was short this week, but I really do feel so deeply connected to this particular message and just the impact of deeply personal value providing goals in my life. And I've seen the impact of these meaningful goals in our athletes' lives. If you are looking to set some serious mental, physical, functional or even a combination of all three goals this next season, you've now just learned not only how to set them, but also how to avoid pitfalls that we fall into when creating them from maybe your next coach and bestie. We would love to meet you one-on-one. If you're interested in meeting with myself or one of our incredible coaches, the link to apply is always in the description of the podcast or over on my Instagram page at Mads Michi Fitness. Thank you all for tuning in to this week's short episode. Be sure to subscribe because next week we are going to be diving into perfectionism and the perfectionist mindset with my dear friend and licensed mental health counselor, Ollie Petrovic.